Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Tuesday, October 22nd. I'm Lisa Music reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, UK bioenergy giant Drax faces scrutiny as it seeks to expand wood pellet operations in Northern California. Republican candidate running for California's 2nd Congressional District opposes the removal of the Scott Dam, and Garberville Water Provider agrees to pay $100,000 in lawsuit settlement. Stay tuned. News on those stories and more coming right up. In local legal news, the lawsuit Lamb v. Shanda Ryle et al. Has been settled with the Garberville Sanitary District, GSD, contributing $100,000 towards the $200,000 settlement. The case, filed in Humboldt County Superior Court, stems from injuries sustained by Hope Lamb in a fall outside of a Garberville thrift store in March of 2022. According to court documents, Lamb fell after stepping near a trench along the edge of a parking lot, which was allegedly related to water repairs conducted by GSD. She suffered a serious ankle injury, and her husband, Richard Lamb, also filed a claim for loss of companionship. The settlement involves multiple parties, including the named defendant, Shanda Ryle, as the tenant of the property, the owner of the commercial property, the County of Humboldt, the contractor responsible for the repairs, and GSD. GSD will cover 50% of the settlement through its insurance provider, Special District Risk Management Authority. Ralph Emerson, general manager of GSD, expressed relief that the settlement had been reached, allowing the district to refocus on other projects, including ongoing upgrades. Attorney Heidi Holmquist Wells of Wordling Law Firm, which represented the Lambs, said the case was complex due to the involvement of multiple entities sharing responsibility for the area where the fall occurred. She noted that the condition was remedied soon after the claim was filed and emphasized the importance of reporting dangerous conditions to prevent future accidents. The Lambs have agreed to dismiss their claim, and all parties involved have been released from further liability. Chris Coulom, the Republican candidate running for California's 2nd Congressional District, disagrees with the two-basin solution advocated by Congressman Jared Huffman. KZYX's Elise Cox brings you the details.
Yesterday, we heard Congressman Jared Huffman describe the two-basin solution he's been working on for the last 6 years. The two-basin solution was proposed in response to the expected decommissioning of PG&E's Potter Valley project and the removal of the Scott Dam and Cape Horn Dam. It attempts to address Mendocino County's need for water with a continued diversion from the Eel River to the Russian River, while addressing Humboldt County's demand for a free-flowing Eel River. Chris Coulom, the Republican candidate who is challenging Huffman, says he favors an approach that would not remove the Scott Dam. We give him equal time to talk about his position in today's newscast. I asked Chris Coulom, what would you do to ensure that the people that you represent have the water that they need?
I would do the opposite of what Jared Huffman is doing today. And instead of advocating for the destruction of our water source on behalf of PG&E, I would advocate for the increase in our water storage capacity by seeking federal funding from the Infrastructure Improvement Act, which allocated $550 billion specifically for water infrastructure improvement, which we all know he, by his own statements, is not going after on behalf of our district. And so because he is actively seeking the destruction of our water supply, it seems pretty obvious that he is not looking to increase our water supply. So I would basically take this leadership role and use it as a way to bring together the parties that can fix our water supply. So it's obvious to us, I believe at this point, that PG&E does not have an interest in maintaining Scott Dam or Lake Pillsbury or Van Arsdale. And so if that takes me to go out and find people that are ready to either take that over or to create a a district that manages that. There's a lot of municipalities that are very interested in keeping that. Lake County wants it to keep it. They're unanimously and vociferously opposed to the destruction of it. Representative Mike Thompson is adamantly opposed to the destruction of it. So there's a lot of support from elected positions to keep it. And I would bring them together so that we can create a solution that benefits all parties, the tribes, the counties, the cities, the citizens, the businesses, because we have a resource, we have an asset here that is helping us, that helped us create basically much of, well, let's say Ukiah South, and I argue all the way down to Marin County, because Marin County gets 25% of its water from Sonoma County, which gets its water from Mendocino County, which gets its water from Lake Pillsbury. And according to Jared Huffman's own estimates, Lake Mendocino will go dry 6 years out of 10. That's 6 years out of a decade that you're not going to have year-round water supply, that you probably won't have water in the Russian River, which means that your cost of living is going to go up and your ability to fight fires is going to go down. Your health opportunities are going to go down, because if you're water rationing and you're not washing your clothes as often and you're not drinking as much water and you're not showering as often, that's a real problem. And I would argue that talking about the district, this is probably, if not, I'd say this is number one issue for all residents of Mendocino County. This is bigger than anything else that I've talked about today. If you don't have water, crime doesn't matter. If you don't have water, business doesn't matter. None of these things matter if you don't have water, which is, I mean, this is probably the main reason, top three reasons that I got involved in this race, is because if this water disappears, it's gone. There's no one will bring back water to California. California has basically stated they're adamantly opposed to it. The only reason that we have Sites Dam being built now is because the voters approved it as a bond measure. And as was brought up elsewhere, it took them a decade just to pull that money out. So where is the leadership that is making sure that we are getting funding here to address our problems on a macro scale? And I'm talking specifically about water, but where else are we seeing leadership that is fighting for us to have the basic necessities? Because Mendocino County, which again is experiencing a negative 1.5% economic decline, my background is in the DOD think tank realm, looking at macro picture, geopolitics, geostrategy. If that lake goes away, Mendocino County, Ukiah, Hopland, and all surrounding municipalities will collapse. I guarantee you that. I give you my word, it will collapse. Basically, Cloverdale North will collapse. It'll take longer for Healdsburg and south to collapse, because they can still pull water for a time from Lake Sonoma. But this is issue number one, and I am amazed at how many people in the district are not aware of the situation, because there's not a lot of competition here for the media, for journalism to broadcast this. And I believe not only do we have a journalism desert, but we also have a captured market, particularly with like the Press Democrat and how aligned it is politically with the power structure. And I don't think that everybody agrees with.
For KZYX News, I'm Elise Cox.
Drax's expansion in California sparks environmental concerns over biomass practices and regulatory compliance. Lauren Schmidt reports.
A UK-based bioenergy company accused of misleading regulators about sourcing wood pellets from old-growth forests is now partnering with rural county supervisors, including Humboldt's 1st District representative, to expand operations in Northern California. The company is working through a public benefit corporation formed by the Golden State Finance Authority and the Rural County Representatives of California, with goals of promoting public safety, forest resiliency, and wildfire risk reduction. However, this move is raising concerns among dozens of environmental advocacy groups, led by the Partnership for Policy Integrity, who accuse the company of deceptive practices and greenwashing. The government-linked nonprofit, Golden State Natural Resources, governed by the rural supervisors, is planning to expand industrial-scale wood pellet production in California. As the organization signed a memorandum of understanding with the controversial company, Drax, in February of this year. The draft environmental impact report for this proposed operation was released today. However, organizations are calling for a delay in the public meeting schedule, arguing that the current timeline, which begins just days after today's release, doesn't allow enough time for meaningful public review, especially in high-impact communities. For more, we spoke with the U.S. Policy Director with the Partnership for Policy Integrity.
My name is Laura Height. I am the U.S. Policy Director for the Partnership for Policy Integrity. And in that role, I work at the state level and federal level, reviewing biomass energy projects. And I've been working in California on this proposed Golden State Natural Resources project since we first learned about it about 2.5 years ago.
To share why she has concerns regarding the Drax partnership, she referenced a recent article in The Intercept titled, quote, "The Dirty Business of Clean Energy, the UK power company polluting small towns across the US," close quote. The article highlights how Drax, which operates the UK's largest power plant, is expanding its wood pellet operations across the US based on questionable carbon accounting practices. Drax opened a wood pellet mill in Mississippi in 2014 and has faced multiple fines for exceeding legal pollution limits. Residents continue to report deteriorating air quality and rising health issues. The company's operations in the U.S., which include 7 mills, have been linked to numerous environmental violations, mostly related to air pollution. In Gloucester, Mississippi, emissions often spike at night, raising concerns about opportunistic dumping. Drax has also faced significant fines and regulatory scrutiny in other states, including Louisiana and Texas. Despite Drax's claims that burning wood pellets is a renewable energy solution, experts argue that it produces more CO2 than coal. And Drax's efforts to establish new pellet mills in rural Northern California have sparked resistance from local groups.
They've been interested in California and California's policies to promote bioenergy with carbon capture and storage. Not a surprise that it's coming in California. The state has been very supportive of biomass energy as a way of addressing wildfires, which is not really scientifically justified, but it's baked into many of California's policies.
The organization believes that biomass as a green energy or climate solution is an example of greenwashing, relying on misleading carbon accounting. Dr. Mary Booth, an eco-scientist and founder with the Partnership for Policy Integrity, elaborated.
Bioenergy is a huge greenwashing scam, and basically pretty much any little kid can tell you that burning trees instead of growing them for climate change mitigation is just completely insane. Burning wood obviously emits carbon, but the interesting thing is that burning wood for electricity generation actually emits considerably more carbon per megawatt hour of electricity generated than even coal.
She highlights that burning wood can produce more CO2 than coal per unit of energy produced, as wood is less energy dense than coal, meaning more wood is needed to generate the same amount of energy. As a result, burning wood often releases more CO2 compared to coal for the same energy output. Essentially, she argues, the carbon calculator metrics are flawed and greenwashed to fit a specific narrative. Dr. Booth says these metrics fail to consider important factors, such as the CO2 released when a tree is uprooted, or the fact that older trees sequester more carbon than younger ones. She views this as a flawed science and a significant concern, especially as companies seek buy-in from state, county, and federal entities, looking for climate-friendly solutions funded by taxpayers through government subsidies.
Mysterious or unknown about that. The trickery of it comes in that they want to claim that that CO2 won't actually heat up the atmosphere the way coal CO2 will. They'll say, well, trees grow back. Well, trees, yeah, sure, trees may grow back, but they don't grow back for decades or centuries. So you cut down a mature forest and burn it, you've emitted all that carbon into the atmosphere, but you haven't done anything to make more trees take up more carbon somewhere else. So those emissions are not offset in any time frame that's reasonable for addressing climate change. And obviously, trees don't grow back overnight. So it's really not a carbon neutral climate solution. And by extension, it's also not carbon negative if you take that CO2 and put it below ground using carbon capture and storage.
At a June Humboldt County Board of Supervisors meeting, Pat Blacklock of Golden State Natural Resources, the nonprofit formed by the Rural County Representatives of California that signed the MOU with Drax, outlined plans to develop the two Northern California facilities in Tuolumne and Lassen counties that seek to produce industrial wood pellets intended as a replacement for coal overseas. Rex Bone, Humboldt's first district representative, also sits on the board of Golden State Natural Resources and represents Humboldt on the RCRC. At the June meeting, Supervisor Mike Wilson questioned the science behind biomass energy, while Supervisor Natalie Arroyo of Humboldt's 4th District also shared concerns.
Environmental organizations that oppose any intervention in the forest. And they oppose this project, and they very actively oppose this project. We have been having conversations with what I would characterize as the in-forest environmental groups, particularly in the Central Sierra, who are there living, working closely with the Forest Service to try to figure out what are the best solutions. They have been great partners in providing us feedback. We haven't asked them to take a position on the project. What we've asked them to is engage, provide us feedback, help us develop it. So for example, one of the concerns that they said is, look, we recognize there needs to be an outlet for biomass. We think that's a good thing. However, we want certainty in terms of where you're going to source this biomass, that it's not going to be clear cutting, that it's not going to be some of the heritage oaks, et cetera, that there is going to be environmental review before a project occurs. How are you going to demonstrate that to us? So we began looking at the best practices in California in terms of vegetation management guideline practices. We looked at CAL FIRE's vegetation treatment program, EIR. We looked at UC Berkeley's EIR, where they identify a project. And we begin to compile all that information. Then we released that for review back in February, well in advance of the draft EIR, because we wanted to get that feedback from those in the community environmental groups.
I've certainly heard a concern, and I think we've repeatedly been contacted by community members who are concerned about, as Supervisor Wilson said, really creating a pathway to market for a product that's gonna be burned somewhere with fewer environmental regulations and air quality and the export model being something that there are, I think, fairly legitimate concerns about. I understand we're kind of between a rock and a hard place when it comes to how to address our pretty significant forest health problem from decades of mismanagement. And, I'm concerned about the role that essentially we're tacitly endorsing in that.
The Partnership for Policy Integrity says it acknowledges the concerns about fire risks due to overgrown vegetation and how having an economic outlet could benefit the rural economy. But
it's very troubling what's going on. And it's also quite, I think, misleading what's going on, because it looks like a bunch of rural county supervisors looking to do some economic development and they're presenting themselves as trying to do something that's good for forest ecosystems. And meanwhile, we just learned earlier this year that they had entered into a memorandum of understanding with this Drax Corporation based in the UK to potentially finance this project, invest in it, possibly operate it, take the wood pellets that are developed. So they're talking about two very large wood pellet mills that, you know, the size and scale, which are unprecedented in California, producing at least 1 million tons of pellets a year, and mostly for export to Asia, where it would be burned and treated as renewable energy.
Within the Intercept article we referenced earlier, it noted that the power giant Drax initially claimed that its Mississippi pellet mill would bring substantial investments to the local economy and grow renewable power within the state. However, the plant employs only a handful of local workers, and its wood pellets are shipped abroad to be burned for electricity at Drax UK power station. Residents in the small town near the facility report that the mill has polluted the air and harmed their health. In 2020, the Mississippi mill was fined $2.5 million for exceeding legal limits on air pollutants. And despite Drax's promise to install pollution controls, it has continued to breach emission limits. Pat Blacklock with RCRC confirmed that profitability is the key objective for the project. When asked why pellet mills were chosen over less controversial wildfire mitigation methods, he stated, quote, "Candidly, part of the reason is we wanted to find a commercially viable pathway," end quote. He noted that Wade Crowfoot, California's Secretary of Natural Resources, had emphasized the importance of commercial viability at a recent meeting. He also acknowledged Drax's history of noncompliance with environmental regulations in the Southeast, but claimed that California plants would be different. Despite Drax's pattern of failing to accurately document and report its emissions.
So this is a project that would, you know, have a lot of impacts on California forests. There'd be a lot of local impacts, and there'd be impacts. It is a major and complicated project because there's two mills. They'd be developing a export facility in the Port of Stockton, which is a community and area that already has very significant air quality issues, a disadvantaged community under California standards that would have additional cumulative burdens if this port facility is built. It's got this facade of being about restoring our forests, and it looks very nice. And what really it is this is industrial logging by and a facility that's run by a company that's only out to make a profit. It's not about protecting our forests and certainly not about mitigating wildfires.
The documentary Burned, Our Trees the New Coal aired on PBS and at the Wild and Scenic Film Festival. Presented evidence of clear-cutting associated with the wood pellet industry. This contradicts claims by biomass companies like Drax, which argue that they only use excess or waste wood. The film highlights how large-scale operations, similar to the proposed facility, are burning wood at a rate of 113 tons, or 1 acre per hour, turning forests into commodities. Environmental groups like EPIC and Arcata are particularly concerned because over 80% of Forest Service land in California is located within counties that are a part of the Rural County Representatives of California, the umbrella organization behind Golden State Natural Resources.
They are logging irreplaceable inland rainforests. These are coniferous rainforests that are literally some of the biggest trees on the planet. And these are gorgeous, beautiful, dense green forests with thick carpet of moss and organic soils. And they go in there and they basically either clear cut themselves or they basically vacuum up every little bit of wood that is left from other logging.
Drax was originally a coal plant in the UK, but as the country recently announced, it has become the first developed nation to fully phase out coal. Now, large corporations like Drax are seeking to stay in business by pivoting to biomass. Despite emitting around 12 million tons of carbon dioxide annually, international rules allow the UK to avoid counting these emissions. According to the Dogwood Alliance, a nonprofit in the Southeast working with the Partnership for Policy Integrity, Drax received $965 million in subsidies in 2019 alone for wood pellets, mostly sourced from U.S. forests. The group notes that over 1 million acres of U.S. forests have already been cut for biomass, with taxpayers footing the bill under the guise of a climate solution.
The fact that there are these lucrative subsidies for wood pellets as renewable energy has made it very, very profitable to go in and simply mow down these forests. And this is what's been seen in the United States Southeast. It's every bit as bad as you might imagine.
Earlier this Tuesday, Golden State Natural Resources published its 1,300-page draft environmental impact report for the proposed Forest Resiliency Demonstration Partnership with Drax, marking the start of the 60-day public review period. However, Tom Wheeler, the executive director of EPIC, has cited a discrepancy. The appendixes of the DEIR have not been published. He referenced the California Code of Regulations, which states that since the appendixes are a part of the DEIR, the public should have the right to review and comment on them. And without access, the comment period cannot officially begin. Notably, environmental groups have been requesting an extension for months and are calling for an immediate change to the public meeting schedule to allow for more review and public input. As it currently stands, 3 meetings are scheduled for October 28th, 30th, and November 4th.
We're calling for a legitimate public input process. This is a very complex project. We are expecting a lot of scientific terminology. We are expecting obfuscation. We are expecting a lot of gaps that we would like to see closed. In other words, there'll be a lot to dig into in this draft environmental impact review. And they're not giving us enough time to legitimately learn it, communicate it, share it, get people out and able to speak cogently to the project. And we're just seeing this as a complete railroading of the public process. All of this is supposed to happen within a week or two of this DEIR coming out and in the shadow of the elections. It's crazy.
Following today's release of the DEIR, Laura Height with the Partnership for Policy Integrity says they will be combing through the document for cumulative impacts and other issues. And Dr. Booth speculates that the rushed public comment period is not a coincidence.
When Laura told me that, you know, they had this incredibly compressed timetable for reviewing this thing, I thought, that's interesting because Drax, as the overseas partner here, there's just been two major expose stories about Drax literally last week in the UK. The Financial Times showed, using internal emails from Drax, that the company, we've known for a long time that they were logging these primary and old growth forests up in British Columbia, but the Financial Times story showed that they were lying about it to regulators and that they knew perfectly well what was going on and they chose to lie about it. So Drax is probably in a hurry to lock up some other investments, some other money somewhere else. So I'm sure they're in a huge hurry to get this California project underway.
As it stands, the public comment period is set to end on December 23rd, 2024. Humboldt Supervisor Rex Bone is a proponent of the project, and environmentalists gave a testimony at today's Board of Supervisors meeting. The final EIR publication and review and decision is expected in 2025. As for what comes next for the Coalition of Environmental Groups, Height says,
well, I mean, we've got a lot of high-level groups, a lot of grassroots groups, groups representing frontline communities whose, you know, health is at risk here. We've got national groups with access to legal resources, technical resources. We are going to make a good faith effort to raise all of our issues of concern during the public comment period. And then we'll see what decisions get made
on the permits for this facility. But we're going to be watching it very closely. And I mean, this is very interesting because some of the other, most of the other wood pellet projects in the U.S. were advanced by private companies. This one being advanced by elected local officials, there's a different angle that we can take, which is, you know, public pressure on these local officials. And, you know, the information that we have is pretty damning about this technology and the impacts on the environment.
KMA News will continue to share updates. For more information and to find links related to this story, you can visit kmud.org.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Katie Phillips, and thanks to our reporters, Lauren Schmidt and Elise Cox. KMUD News is online. You can find us on kmud.org, SoundCloud, Instagram, and Facebook. That's where you can see stories, links, and videos. If you have questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmud.org. Reporting from the KMUD studio in Redway, I'm Lisa Music.